And Yeshua, do you have a bird?
No, I have a cat.
Oh. I was sitting there like, it sounds like a bird, and I wasn't sure. Okay.
Oh. It's deaf, and she cries occasionally.
Oh. I always have noticed that cats who have, you know, are hard of hearing may have sounds more like a bird. Like a parrot. They hear themselves.
Interrupting, guys, just for a moment. Brenda just went into the wrong room. Oh, well, she'll figure it out. Okay. I have a couple Zoom rooms, right? I have that I meet with people during the day, and then there's this one. And April, do you have your phone with you?
Yeah.
You want to text Brenda and let her know she's in the wrong room?
Yes.
She's not an HMTT. Okay. Yeah. So how's everybody this morning? Yeah? Good? Yeah? Were you exhausted after yesterday, or was it okay?
It's good. Yeah, I felt pretty good.
Yeah? All right. Okay. Well, let's start with the meditation. And we're going to start like this today. Does somebody have the invocation with them?
Yeah.
Okay. So could you read the invocation, April?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if somebody else would be willing to just guide us into our posture by doing whatever it is you do. You're just going to say, everybody got scared. I could feel it. Everyone, huh? What? Literally, it just simply say, okay, feet flat on the floor. If you're sitting in a chair, do what you're doing. I never say feet flat on the floor because I'm not sitting on a chair, right? So the key is just do whatever, just tell us to do whatever you're doing. Just drop your attention into your seat, hands flat on your lap, whatever. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's just somebody get us into our posture. Who would like to do that? All right, Lisa, thank you. Thank you. Okay, Lisa, not Lisa, Lisa Finn. Lisa Finn, listen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Try it again.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you okay. Are you being soft because it's so early? Yeah. Okay. All right. So Lisa will put us into our seat and then, Agnieszka, no, April will have us do the invocation and then I'll take it from there. Okay. So Lisa, okay. Go for it.
All right. So everybody, let's find those sits bones, whether you're sitting in the chair. If you're sitting in the chair, you're scooting slightly forward. Spine is nice and tall. Imagine, you might imagine that you have a string attached to the top of your head, which is helping you lengthen the spine. Nice long neck. And then choose whatever feels best to you for your hands. Palms up, palms down on the thighs, whatever mudra you might like. Allow those eyes to close.
O great spirit, saints and sages of all religions, all places, and all times, and to my own precious Ishta Devata, I bow to you all. Sweep clear the obstacles on our path and lead us to that other shore of that ocean of awareness. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Thank you, April. Thank you, Lisa. And so each one of us now, let's just take a few moments to really settle into our posture, to settle into this moment. And as you do this, see if you can do it not from a sense of, oh, this is how I always do it, real repetition, but more from a sense of, oh, okay, what does my body need today to settle? What is my mind needing? Do I need a few extra deep breaths and real softening with my area, or do I need to just focus on sound and settle my mind? And this opening process is like the most perfect opportunity to begin to practice what is most, most important, which is being present for what is happening without any judgment or criticism or resistance. The ability to show up and go, oh wow, I'm still a little agitated and tight in my chest from that interaction I just had. Oh, there's a little more tension in my neck than usual today. And we notice it and we let go of any story around it. We let go of any judgment around it. And we give ourselves the gift of kindly, attentively showing up for our experience. So for a few moments now, see if you can enter into a heart space of kindness. Whatever that thought is that can help you open up to a space of kindness. And for the next few breaths, the next few moments, greet whatever arises with kindness. And some of you may have been a little confused by that. So that just simply means, as I was sitting here, I noticed some tightness in my solar plexus, a little apprehension. Now I could put a story around it. I could put a story around it, or I could just show up and notice there's that tightness and there's a sense of apprehension. And I can, as soon as I open it with open into it with kindness, it softens. So whether it's a physical sensation or a thought, can you hold it, approach it with kindness? Let's do that for a few more seconds. And with that kindness, that sense of kindness, bring your attention into the heart center and let that next in-breath bring a sense of opening and expansion. And as you exhale, see if you can simply soften into a space of kindness. Let's do one more nice, gentle, gentle in-breath, the chest gently expanding with kindness and softening with that exhale, the whole body from your crown to your toes, kindly. And now invite your Ishta to come in front of you, say good morning. Say good morning. And in your own way, send a communication to your Ishta. Just inviting your Ishta in to our session this morning, to be present with you, supporting you. And imagine that your Ishta is in front of you and maybe just a little above you. And smile at your Ishta. Just smile. And the smile, the essence of the smile is an opening. It's a welcoming. It's an accepting. And allow your Ishta to respond back to you. And whatever that form that response takes, if it's a smile, if it's an enfolding, if it's just a radiating. Let's rest here for a few moments, bathing ourselves in that blessing of our Ishta. And very gently, with your next inhale, sense that you are literally drinking in, inhaling the essence of this blessing into your being. And in that pause at the top of the breath, sense that your body is just still and floating, and that essence just expands into all the places within your being. And as you exhale, every part of your being absorbs that blessing, softens and opens to absorbing it. So it's a simple pattern. Inhale, pause, absorb, exhale, absorb deeply into every part of your being. And then let's pause again. Why not? Just float in that quality. And do just a couple more breaths like this. And then let your Ishta dissolve. Say goodbye. Say thank you, whatever you want to do. But and as your Ishta dissolves, it's not that it dissolves and disappears. It dissolves into you. The qualities present and alive within you right now. And before we conclude our meditation, let's breathe Hong Sa together, all of us. Hong Sa. Soften your jaw. And if you wonder if I mean you, yes, I mean you. Soften your jaw. Just allow the breath to breathe you just for another 30 seconds. And then after your next exhale, release all technique and rest in the present moment, just enjoying however you feel. And now inhale joy. And like really, inhale joy. Feel the feeling, right? And exhale contentment. And to the best of your ability today, inhale joy again. And if the feeling is in any way good, let it float up to your face. And exhale contentment. And let's all do one more. Inhale joy. Let it float into a smile on your face. And exhale through the mouth. Contentment. And then when you're ready, just gently begin to stretch a little bit. Come back into your body. And then and so here we are. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. I want to talk about the Ishta briefly, just a little bit more. One of the things I'm encouraging you is to develop this relationship with your Ishta, right? And to trust your Ishta. But for some of us, trusting our Ishta, because you know your Ishta is an aspect of you. It's a higher awareness, wisdom that we carry around day to day, right? And so what can often happen with people is like, okay, you're telling me to trust my Ishta, but you know what? I don't trust me. I can be resentful. I can be confused. I can be, you know, trapped in old ways of thinking. So how do I don't know. How do I really learn to trust my Ishta? And Kriyananda gave us three little things to think about. He called them the three jewels above the crown of God. And his point was, and this is, you know, in Buddhism, there's really not a God. And in yoga, God is a creative force. It is not, there is more above God. God is a limited concept. God is the force of creation. But God isn't, there is more than God, is the way he would put it. And especially the God that we were all raised with, it's a limited God that's been limited to the attributes of humans. So what we're trying to do is bust ourselves out of this limitation to open up our awareness so that we can have our own personal experience of what this reality might really be, what we might call the supreme reality or reality with a capital R. Okay. And so on our path to this exploration, we have our Ishta. And so he said there were three jewels above the crown of God. And these are the three things we test. Anything that comes, any thought that comes into our head, anything we think our Ishta is saying, right? We ask ourselves, is it three things? Is it nonviolent? So the first jewel above the crown of God is nonviolence. Ahimsa is a Sanskrit word. A-H-I-M-S-A. Ahimsa. Nonviolent. Now, I've changed that because nonviolence could be a trigger word. You know, it's like it's got violence in there, right? And so, and we know that stuff happens. I mean, we just had this ice storm out here in Oregon a month ago that the devastation was epic. Well, that's violent, right? So how do you make peace with this idea that there's this concept of violence, nonviolence? And what I like is I like using the Dalai Lama's words, where he said his religion is kindness. His religion is kindness. And at some point it hit me that, oh my God, this jewel of nonviolence, of ahimsa, is kindness. Now, kindness doesn't mean we don't sometimes have to stop things, not do things, but it means that inside me, boom, in here, there is no hate, there is no anger, there is no violence. And to me, the best example of this is this Buddhist phrase, and we're going to pretend there's a little flea right here on my hand biting me, the little bugger. And I'm even allergic to him, so it'll make this big thing. So I kindly say, swat, oh, little flea, become a Buddha by my hand. I could go, get out of here, you fucker, fucker, I hate you, flea. Oh, that's violent. Or I could go, oh, little flea, become a little Buddha by my hand. Do you get the point? Does that make sense? Now, I have muted everybody for while we were doing the opening meditation. So go ahead and unmute yourselves so we can, this could be a little, how do you react to that? How does that hit you when I say that?
I have found.
Remember, you're not taking my word for this. I want you to think about it.
Just wondering if that works with road rage.
Okay, let's try it. Oh, you cut me off. Oh.
Well, no.
Like, road rage is violent. Okay. Yeah. That's rage.
Okay. Right? Just kidding.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. That's a good thought.
Well, it's something to aspire to, right? And it's not about us beating ourselves up when we're not there. When we have the road rage, it's like, whoa, there's. Well, we come back.
Very confusing.
What was that?
It's very confusing. I don't know. Extremely confusing. Extremely.
Thank you for being so honest about that. Thank you for being so honest about that. Does anybody else find it confusing too?
I don't want it to be passive aggressive.
Yeah, that sounds very passive aggressive. That's like, is there an animal size that we need to be switching like modes? Cougars? Like, I don't know.
No, you know what? How can I say this? It's like there are times when I take my spiders outside, there are times when I kill them.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what but when I kill them, I don't kill them out of fear or hate or anger. I really do hold a sense of, okay, buddy, your time's gone. It's just like, it's not in me. The violence isn't, I'm not doing it to be violent. I'm doing it to protect my granddaughter. I'm doing it to protect me because that's been sitting right here by where I was meditating, you know?
So the instance I have for road rage is I used to have a lot of road rage. And I used to get very pissed off. I lived in Detroit for a while.
That explains it.
Anyways, but what I have found is when somebody's tailgating me or somebody, when I'm starting to get pissed off at somebody that's being that way now, is I start getting mad, but then I just back it up and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what their day is like. I don't know what's going on in their world. They must be in a bigger hurry than I am. And, you know, and pull over. I used to be the bitch that would hold them up in the fast lane because they were on my ass and I was going to prove a point. But why? I mean, all it did is just get anxiety in me. So I just pull over. I don't even speak anymore.
That's why I like the smashing part of the flea, but I know I'll be better at the end of this.
But notice though what Kathleen was saying. She said it's kindly. They must be having a hard, bad day. Now, the first time you have those thoughts, if you're trying to move out of road rage, it's going to be, well, they must be having a bad day. You know, eventually it becomes, it's just a kindness. It's a kindness.
Yeah. And I had this at a retreat, Karen, I think, a long time ago. And I've been putting it into practice more because
I have kids in the car and I'm trying, and they're, one is a year away from permit driving. So I've been trying to really be mindful about what I say to other drivers and how I respond because she's watching, you know. And same thing, Kathleen, I've been doing a lot more of like, boy, I really hope they get where they're going safely. Yeah. Or, you know, like maybe they have somebody in labor in the car, like really trying to think, why would they need to be going that fast, you know? Yeah. And so I've been trying to really speak it out loud for the people in my car, but also it helps me to be more calm.
And that's the important point here, right? How do you feel when you respond that way as opposed to the other way? What is the difference it makes in you?
Right. It takes all my, yeah, that anxiety away.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I know if I'm all riled up, if we're going to talk about driving, then I could make mistakes driving. Like I could be not safe because I've got all this stuff turning around, you know?
And ultimately that, I mean, this comes back to when on your 7 things, techniques to release attachment, right? That it's not about that driver cutting you off. It's not. There's an anger in you. It's triggered something in you where you don't matter, where nobody pays, gives you your, what gets, you know, somebody's always trying to fuck with you. It brings up that other stuff. And there's, and our culture is, depending on where you grew up, you know, when I came from Hawaii to the mainland when I was 27, we ended up in Boston and I turned into the road rage bitch. I was excellent. And my husband didn't want to drive with me because even if he was driving and I was sitting next to him, I would lean out the window and get a fire, you fucker, you know, and I would just, I had a girlfriend from Brooklyn who taught me phrases I can't even speak. Even I can't speak to you that I would say, but it was how you survived, right? There was this perception that I needed to be that way to survive. And now our skill, if we're learning to not be that, right, is to still drive aggressively. Hear this carefully, because if you don't drive aggressively, you're fucking everybody else up. Right? You can't go in there and suddenly say, okay, no, you move in. I'll just stop this whole line of traffic. You still have to play by the game, the rules, but without this internal turmoil, without flipping people off in the rearview mirror or out your window or playing games of I'm on your tail. Fine. I'll pass you. Now I'm on your tail. It's like, you know, that's upsetting us, as Kathleen and Brenda pointed out, right? So this is just a beautiful little dialogue around this idea, though, that nonviolence, which I'm going to use the word kindness, is a jewel that we gauge ourselves by. We gauge any advice by. And, or thoughts that we have, or thoughts we, guidance we think we're getting from our Ishta. And I think Agnieszka's, her recognition, this is a confusing statement. Because sometimes you do have to destroy something. Sometimes you have to end something. So there's a place for that, right? We know that things have to transform, and to transform, something has to die. Something has to finish. And so how do you reconcile this? And I think this is something for you to play within your own mind, because I think it is confusing. There's a book I read by a Buddhist, and he's talking about healing. Actually, it's Korean Buddhist. And this man's point was that it was more important to be kind than anything else. Even in the process, actually, I don't want to take us down that road because I've got other things I want to do today. But I remember when I read that and I was at a point in my life where I was about to confront the man who had molested me when I was a child, right? And we had gone back to the island of Lanai. It was my 50th birthday night. We'd taken my son. We were all going to Lanai and my brother was going to be there. We were going to go camping on this beach we used to camp at. And I knew I was going to see this guy, this man. That's where he lived, right? And I'd been reading this book to try and prepare myself. And his point was that kindness was more important. And I was sitting there going, fuck, kindness? Kindness? Seriously? But I had that in the back of my head. And there was a moment where, and some of you will know this, there's a moment when that person with that power who hurt you or abused you, they come back in with that pattern. And you have the option, the moment, to either fall back into the old pattern or do it different. Now, I'm talking about an abuser, but this could be any situation in your life, right? So just because you weren't abused doesn't mean this doesn't apply to you. There's somebody who's coming in and you have felt like a victim or felt less than, and you are trying to change that power dynamic to stand up for yourself. In that moment, I can't help but think it was because it was in my head. Actually, I don't know how to tell this story without telling you what happened, because there was a picture of a Hawaiian woman about this size on the wall, and she's bare-breasted. And he says to me, this guy's a creep, but he's married to a woman who was very, very important in my family. She's like a mother to me, to my brothers. And so we were all there to see her. And he was like a piece. Anyway, doesn't matter. He, for some reason, we're over there. We're talking. He looks at the picture and he says, so how do you know this woman is married? And that was his style of intimidation. Because he knows she's bare-breasted and he knows that I'm going to probably say because she's bare-breasted, right? But because I'd been meditating and getting myself in that place, I looked at the picture and the whatever opened up and I saw the wedding ring on her hand, which you couldn't really see because all you could see first was breasts, right? And I said, because she has a wedding ring on her hand. And I said it kindly and I said it confidently. And in that moment, he knew we were done, that I had grown up, that I had stood up and it was done. And it was after that, I was able to write him a letter and say, kindly, I know you thought you were doing this to teach me something, but I also know that it's fucked me up. It's fucked me up beyond belief. And I know you have granddaughters and I know you have nieces, and I am begging you from the bottom of my heart. I'm begging you from the bottom of my heart to not do this to them. It is not doing what you think. And the whole point of this is the kindness. This is the kindness, because this is a delicate issue where we could get angry. We could get mad. We could get fighting. But I said it kindly in the letter, and I kid you not, this is what happened. He got really sick. And he got sicker and sicker and sicker. And he died within the year. And I can't help but feel that it was the guilt and the horror being faced with it, because there's a part of him that knows, but it was done kindly. It was done so kindly, so kindly. And one of the things he did before he died was he called my dad asking for forgiveness. He was my dad's best friend. Isn't that fascinating? But this is all about kindness. I was not going to tell you this story. I have no idea how this came up, but you know, sometimes we, these things come up and it was important on some level to hear this. So, kindness, folks, kindness. And I want you to play with it. I want you to think it through, you to think it through so that it makes some sense to you. And I didn't understand it till I was reading that thing in that morning, and Bill can tell you, I was really scared to see this guy, right? And that was the line that was in my head, kind, kind. And that became the underlying feeling. And it healed me. It healed me. So anyway, that's the one jewel, kindness. The second jewel is truth. Satya is a Sanskrit word, S-A-T-Y-A, Satya. And here's where truth comes in. And Kriyananda wouldn't say it was your ishta. Kriyananda would use the example of, you know, he grew up, it was Chicago. And there are lots of people saying things like, well, I put that building on fire because God told me to. Because God told me to. And Kriyananda's point was, if God's telling you to do something violent, set something on fire, that's not God talking. If God is telling you something, it must be true, right? So test whatever you think God is saying. And if somebody is telling, I'm sorry, but if somebody's telling you that, you know, Karen, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down a political path here, but that's in my head. It's these, you know, it's like somebody's trying to tell you that Matt Gaetz didn't show these nude photos on the floor of the House to his other Republican colleagues. It's like, it's not true. There are things that are just fact. They are just fact, right? Now we can debate whether it was inappropriate or appropriate or not. That you can debate. But did he do it? Well, he did it. Okay. True. What is true? What is true? What is the difference between something that is true and something that is your perception, that is your opinion? And that's for us to discern. Somebody can say to you, okay, this is a tough one. Somebody can say to you that person, stay away from that person. You've all had this happen where somebody has pre-given you their opinion of somebody else. And they have said, stay away from that person. That person is da 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 da, right? And so you go like, whoa, and you stay away from that person. And then you get to know the person. And then you get to find out that the da 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 never happened. Never happened. It isn't true. It's a perception that got put out there and it's not true. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Some of you probably even had that happen to you, right? Where there's stuff that's out there about you and it's just not true. So we always have to look for what's true from a factual standpoint. Okay. What's true. And then the third one is wisdom. 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 So those, I know that we're moving into Ishta land. I'm asking you to trust your Ishta, to have a relationship with your Ishta. And for some of you, this is dicey because this is not, how do you trust? How do you trust? So I wanted to give you these. Kind, true, wise. Okay. And wisdom, I'm not going to go into that one because that's a discussion for all of us to have someday. What do you think wisdom is? You know, what is wisdom? I don't know. I don't know that I know, you know? So any questions or thoughts on that?
I was going to ask you about wisdom, but you preempted to ask about that. So
I think what I want to do is save that decision. Like, today we're going to talk about your readings, right? And I'm actually not going to ask you, and I haven't had you read the chapters, what is meditation? Because I don't want you to be given somebody else's definition of meditation. I want and accept it and spout back to me. Meditation is da, 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 da. What I want us to do is today we're going to talk about what is it not? What are the things that you responded to in the readings? What are the things that you have questions about? But let's meditate for a few months. And then let's come back and let's look at those definitions and go, no, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's meditation. My experience of meditation is that it's this. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in a class or you're going to be with a friend. You could be with your partner, your kid. And somebody says, well, you're doing this training. Well, what is meditation? And if you try and memorize somebody else's definition, it's going to be hollow. Whereas if you've sat there and you've realized, you know what? Meditation is when you just get really calm. My mind gets really clear and I'm just really aware. I'm just aware of what's going on. I see things. That's an authentic, real definition. And that's what we want you to be able to do. What is your experience? Trust your experience. So today I'm not going to ask you that question, but down the road, we're going to explore that after you've had more experience and feel confident that you could say for yourself what it is. Does that sound? So you get why now you aren't reading those chapters on what is meditation, even though I know a bunch of you read them, but that's okay. So what about this? Here's what before we go to the readings, I want to do I want you to do one exercise for me, okay? I'm going to divide you up into pairs, and I want you, actually, do I want to do that? No, I'm going to divide you into two groups of five. And what I'm going to ask you to do, each person, is to take your posture that you would sit in to meditate and just describe to the group what you're doing. And then I want the group to do what you're doing. So in other words, it's like you'll go in the group and the first person will have, you go, whoever's got the birthday in January goes first and you just go around. Person in December goes last and then you just go in order in between. Okay. And you're just going to say, okay, so here's what I do when I sit and you pay attention. This is what I do. Oh, first thing I do is I bring my attention to my sit bones and somebody else had other people had other things. And I bring my attention to my breath and I exhale and I soften my body. And while they're saying that, you're going to do it. But so I want you to be really clear. You're not teaching anybody here. You're not leading them. You're describing to them what you do. And some of you do three things. I feel my chair underneath me. I take a breath and I just kind of relax. And I kind of wiggle my body a little bit to settle and boom, that's what I do. That's all I'm looking for. Is that clear? Yeah, Ramon.
So after yesterday's conversation, I started switching it up only for today. So should we talk about the new method?
Whatever you're doing right then and there, whatever you're doing right then and there, just narrate it. And the other people in there will do it with you. It's like, look, did you see what I did? I went, and then I wiggled a little bit because it's what I felt like doing right then. I just felt like wiggling, you know? So just narrate what you're doing and you'll be in two groups of five. So you'll each get to kind of experience what somebody else is saying and you get the experience of speaking and narrating what you're experiencing. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Okay. And for those of you who are nervous about it, if you're authentically doing what you're experiencing, just say what you're experiencing. You can't do it wrong. You can't do it wrong. Okay. All right. So let's break out into two groups. We're going to start with this little exercise and I'm going to pop in and out. So just ignore me because I'm going to just do like 20 seconds in each place and pop out. Okay. There you go.
Karen, you're muted.
How was that, folks? Everybody did it. Everybody talked, right? Everybody shared. I'm so proud of you all. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. And we'll do more of this, and the easier it's going to get. And there's something really beautiful that happens with our learning and our understanding as we start to say these things out loud. So what did you notice? And if you'd just be so kind as to unmute, and what did you notice as you did this? Either about yourself or that you heard from somebody else that you was like, wow, I never thought of that, or.
I particularly noticed that everybody starts in a different place, like the very starting place, the feet, the sit bones, the breath. And it was fun to follow along the different trails that all led us to the same place. And then when we all got there, no matter who led it, nobody really wanted to go next because we wanted to stay in that place.
Nice. Nice. Is that a permission in a way? Noticing everybody did permission to do it your way? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's as long as we get there.
Right.
Right? Sure. And I love, Lisa, how you said that. And you got there and you didn't want to leave. Right?
Mm-hmm. Somebody else? I wanted to say to Lisa in our group too, hearing that, like you said, Karen, just such permission, because I know for me, when I was doing it, I was like, oh my gosh, can anybody follow along? Like, I felt so scattered. And to hear Lisa say that was so comforting, like, oh, okay, we can connect with each other no matter where we start. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Experienced that too with, in our group, just recognizing what different people said, of what they do, and like, oh, you know, I may have done that, but I hadn't verbalized, like, oh yeah, I guess I do that. And, then Agnieszka, just pointed out just using a little pillow or a little cushion on her lap to raise her arms. And I tried it and it changed everything for that particular mudra, to have your hands together, that I've never been able to do because it didn't allow me to open up my chest and relax my shoulders. And it was just so exciting.
You're muted. Agnieszka, you're muted.
What I really appreciated and learned about myself, that the softness that some of you brought in the guidance, how to soften the face. Kathleen was talking about softening, or I never think so too much about softening. I think about, you know, doing and being. So I really appreciate it. It's a great realization. So thank you.
Surely there's more to say. I would like to hear from a few more of you.
It was kind of like trying on other people's shoes or trying on other people's clothes. And just seeing how it fit, you know.
Yeah.
Like trying out other people's seat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to find that, just to hear that others in the group leading. So I'm primarily have been led in meditation by you, Karen. And I just felt like, well, I was being led by these other people, and it was almost the same. Like somebody else can literally just lead you in a meditation and you can follow along. And the second technique that I've appreciated getting is attaching the string to the head. So that's good. Mm. Another helpful imagery and symbolism. So that was my, and I, can I just say, I was exhausted yesterday. I was surprisingly just drained. And I was like, dude, what is going on? And I don't want to get us off track, but, and the only thing I could do yesterday was like, I organized all my devices in expectation of doing some travel that's going to involve work. And I like obsessed about tax and estate issues that are just things I have to deal with. I don't know. Anyway, it was a kind of a, I just want to put that out, just because it's probably a good thing for me to put that out, because then it'll help.
If I had my phone near me, I would read you Brenda's text to me after the first Sunday. It was kind of like, Brenda, how did you say it? Oh man, if these are going to be like this, I need to rethink my day.
I would need to replan every Sunday if I was going to feel like that after the first day, because I didn't make any plans and, you know, whatever. And it's interesting. I didn't feel that so much yesterday, but I have had that after a couple of our sessions, just very.
Yeah. Right.
And that's normal. I just want to say that's normal, but this is the good news, is that as we do this, it will have the very opposite effect on you. Right. And you actually feel more alive and energized afterwards. But right now there's actually, and this is a very real phenomena. When you're sitting with a group like this and we're doing, there's an enormous amount of energy that is moving through. And it's not just us. It's like we've literally, you know, put out a call to all of our ishtas, to life, to the universe. And they're all coming here to support us. There's a lot of energy that's not of our making, that's helping, that we've just called in. And so your bodies and your energy body and your mind, it's like you're having to,
reacclimate almost.
Reacclimate, there's another word for it's that, but what was that?
Calibrate.
Well, yes, we're getting your tissues, your energy, all of that is being worked. What is it?
Regenerated, re-energized, something.
Your capacity to hold energy is being increased.
Yes.
So every time you come, it's like you're getting a dose and your body's kind of going, whoa, okay. And pretty soon the dose is going to feel good and you're going to be able to absorb all this stuff and you'll feel actually energized from it.
I think of it like conditioning.
Oh, like, thank you. That's the word.
Okay. Yeah. Like it's just like an athlete, you know,
right.
Like.
Right. You're training.
Yeah. And then pretty soon you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I feel so good. I want to go for a run. I mean, I rarely feel that way, but.
That's our Steve. That's not, that neither me. Right.
Last Sunday when we didn't have class. Cause I was so energized from the first one, but just what Steve is saying though, I did have a day of that when I was doing the homework and a lot of the reading. And so I was doing a lot of reflecting and journaling. And so on a couple of those days when I was doing that, I was wiped out afterward. It was in a good way though. I was tired.
So see, it's a good thing you brought it up. Thank you.
I've also built in a little cushion around the time that I tell my family I'm done. So that they don't know that my door is going to open at 10:30. They think I'm done at 11. And it's so that I can sit in here for a little bit longer. And if I want to write about anything or whatever, and because as soon as I leave this little nook, then the dish will go out, the dishes aren't done, or the, you know, like life comes back full force. So I need that like little, like when we end a retreat and we have to like close everything down, like I do that a little bit at the end of each of these, because I know that like, I have to keep that so that I can go back to the real world.
Oh, Brenda, thanks for sharing that. I mean, to be honest with you folks, even when I finished a class teaching, I stay out here for about half an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, unless there's something really critical, I stay out here just to absorb the energy and rebalance myself, because, you know, we're not just working with our own things as we're doing this. And the goal, right, is the more we do this, the more aware you become, more mindful, more aware of what is coming up for you working. What is your experience in a very kind, non-judgmental way? In that, isn't that interesting way? But it's an open, more vulnerable way of being. And it, we want to give ourselves time to transition out of that before we go back into, you know, people needing things from us or the dishes, as you so beautifully said, you know. So it's a real phenomenon.
Can I share a really quick thing? My daughter found my Is It That Interesting paper. So I put it in my bathroom. I have this little turnaround thing with all my stuff on it. And I just kind of slid it in there so that as I'm getting ready in the mornings, I see it. And she was in my bathroom and she's like, "Isn't that interesting? What's that all about, Mom?" And I just said, "Well, it's just a reminder to me to think before I speak." And she was like, "Okay." And she walked out of the room like, you know, it wasn't a big deal.
How many of you were able to put that little reminder, "Isn't that interesting," up? Okay. Most of you did. If you haven't, I suggest you do. Yeah.
I kind of liked "also" instead. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. What is that, like a Sanskrit, or is that
"also" to me is a Japanese phrase.
Okay.
And I don't know that for a fact, but when I grew up, we would, you know.
Does it mean the same thing though, essentially? It means the
same thing. Yeah. "Also." Ah, really? Oh, interesting. It's kind of like that. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm tickled. I'm just tickled at, first of all, that everybody said something. I mean, truly, you don't understand that there are times where people are so terrified to speak out loud about anything they're experiencing that they can't talk. And all of you did it. So yay. We're moving forward. Well done, everybody. And so what I think let's do is, we're going to move on to talking a little bit about in the readings. There were two things I wanted you to talk about and then open it up. One is, what did you take from the readings about posture after everything we just said? Right? And you can pick up the book and thumb through it and go, "Oh, here's what Bhante said. Oh, here's what Kriyananda said," you know, and then think about what each other said, because it was so fun. Just me popping in, everybody, depending where you're at, people say different things. And it's like the string thing just really resonated with Steve. I haven't used that in my teaching in a long, long time, you know. But he heard it today and it resonated. And so that'll become part of his way, right? So it's beautiful what we can learn from each other. But so when we come back, let's take a few minutes to just kind of look at what the book said about posture. See what we think about it. And then, we'll open it up to just you sharing some of your nuggets. And I'm really torn. Part of me would love to hear what everybody has to say, but I think the Zoom works better for a discussion with smaller groups. You know, like if we went back into groups of five, you might find that it'd be easier to have that discussion, but then we're going to miss something. So think about it while we take a break. And when we come back, let's just take a vote and we'll decide which way to go with that. Okay. But so why don't we take it's, let's come back, at 5:02, is 10 minutes enough? 5:02, 5 to the hour. Okay. All right. Beautiful, everybody.